for consumers to find online and in-store offers from national brands. Learn more at retailmenot.com.
You're listening to Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of the Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
Well, on this somber day, the 50th anniversary of the John F. Kennedy assassination, which we'll talk more about later, we are reminded that tragedy never seems to be far away. A Virginia lawmaker and former nominee for governor was seriously injured this week. His son left dead in what authorities are calling an apparent attempted murder and suicide. And there's an investigation into why the young man didn't get mental health treatment that he appears to have needed.
Yes, awful news about Cree Deeds and his son, Gus. His son, Gus, had been under psychological evaluation. There had been some evidence he had kind of been brought into the state mental health system and then released. And then the idea of a more sustained care and protection, evidently, So it is reported there were no beds for him. Now, some hospitals have said that that was not the case. They just had not been contacted by state officials. There is now an investigation underway into this. It could very well affect the shape of the budget, Governor Bob McDonnell's final budget. But it is all calling attention to holes in the mental health safety net, many of which Cree Deeds and his colleagues in the legislature thought they had closed after a troubled student killed so many of his peers in Blacksburg in 2006.
Well, the General Assembly Finance and Appropriations Committees have been meeting to get a feel for the state's economic condition.
Senate Finance Committee meeting in Williamsburg a couple of days earlier, the House Appropriations Committee meeting in Roanoke. There's not a lot of extra money lying around, according to the Senate Finance Committee, perhaps about $200 million. Overall, there's enough money to cover the bills, and that would include the growing cost to taxpayers of supporting public education. There'll be a $600 million adjustment upward for K through 12, this known as rebenchmarking. A big piece of change and certainly a reminder of just how substantial a bite education takes out of the budget. All told, better than 50%.
Governor-elect Terry McAuliffe continues to form his administration's personnel roster.
Yes, appointments for several cabinet positions. Rick Brown reappointed as Secretary of Finance, providing a continuum on the budget side, a welcome development for both parties. Aubrey Lane, a real estate and property man in Virginia Beach. It had been an open secret that Terry McAuliffe had been considering him for Secretary of Transportation. That appointment will be announced today. Secretary of the Commonwealth, that's the patronage dispensing job, will go to LeVar Stoney, a top political aide to the governor-elect. And then the governor's personal staff, Paul Reagan, is coming in as chief of staff. He knows something about dealing with high management, high demand bosses, Mark Warner, Jim Webb, Suzette Denslow, who had worked for a couple of Virginia governors, currently working as chief of staff to Mayor Jones here in Richmond, will come in as the deputy chief of staff.
Meanwhile, back at the executive mansion, outgoing Governor Bob McDonnell continues under investigation by federal and state authorities about the gift scandal that plagued his administration in its last months, and the legal bill to represent the governor in those investigations continues to mount.
Yes, and this is something that really rattles taxpayers. They are now on the hook for better than $570,000. That's more than $500,000. And these are a series of legal appointments, teams of lawyers to represent the governor's office and cabinet secretaries. and universities and the state police, all because Ken Cuccinelli disqualified himself from representing his premier client, the governor, in some of the touchier aspects of this larger controversy, all because the attorney general had turned loose the Richmond prosecutor on the governor over possible omissions in his conflict of interest statement. All of this coming at a time when more and more people are expecting to hear something from the federal government, perhaps on an indictment of the governor, maybe even his wife, First Lady Maureen McDonald. Time would not seem to be the governor's best friend.
Big news in Washington today is the vote in the U.S. Senate to change the filibuster rules. Virginia's two Democratic U.S. senators voted with their party to make it easier to go to cloture, to close a filibuster.
Mark Warner, Tim Kaine, both former governors, both fancy themselves highly bipartisan in their approach to governance. But junior senators, not accustomed to serving in the minority, joining with the club to push through this rules change. One thinks that they'll be hearing more about this from Republicans at home.
Much in the news today about the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and its consequences, the aftermath. And, of course, many Americans now are too young to remember those traumatic events of 50 years ago, but some of us may have some memory of it. Jeff, what were you doing that day?
I was a third-grade student at a public school in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, just outside of New York City. The class had just returned from a fire drill. The principal, Mr. Evans, who usually played classical music over the PA system, couldn't get anything but troubling news out of Dallas. He later announced that the president had been shot, and we were dismissed early. And I remember running from the bus stop to my house, my mother apparently anticipating my arrival, throwing open the door, and I asked her, "Was the president dead?" And she said, "Yes," and I remember clinging to her.
Well, the Kennedy years were a formative period for young people coming of age in the 60s. I was a young radio reporter in Roanoke, Virginia, and was on duty in the newsroom at 1:40 p.m. when the wire service bulletin came clattering across the teletype. I rushed to get it on the air after some difficulty coordinating with the control room, which was on another floor. I stumbled through the announcement that the president had been shot. And after we learned that the young president was dead, I was sent out on the street with a tape recorder to get public reaction. I was shocked by one of the first comments I heard. A man said, "I'm glad he's dead." After the stunning murder of the assassin that Sunday, the incredibly mournful funeral on Monday the 25th, and how dignified Jacqueline Kennedy was throughout, there just seemed to be a turning point for a generation, if not the nation. The end of innocence, one might say. Jeff, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with us and your views on the news of the week in Virginia politics. We'll talk to you again on next Friday.